You can listen to The Professional Left wherever you get your podcasts, on Netroots Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for June 24th, 2022. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where we all live by the motto, just do it and let the courts sort it out. It's the Professional Left with Drift Glass and Blue Gal.
Kids.
Sure. What else do you need to teach them in kindergarten? Sharing, schmaring. Just do it and let the court settle it. Come on. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That was the quote by John Eastman.
John Eastman, who thought he should be on the pardon list.
Yeah. Well, you know, he'd like to know if that's still available. If that's
via
still
email.
Big. Yeah.
What happens when you hire the dumbest lawyers in the country?
They write shit down and they're hired by the people who said, sure, bring in a documentary film crew. We'd love you to film everything we're doing.
Jared, like, really? Is an yeah. idiot. We've known that since 2015.
Really? I was not expecting, because everything is already out in the open. But this mm-hmm. is up there with that Alexander Butterfield moment where, wait a minute, there are tapes of the White House? Yeah. Yeah. I installed a listening system. You did what now? It's voice activated. So basically every question we have about what Nixon knew and when he knew it could be answered just by listening to those tapes, right? I suppose so. And like, oh, okay. Well, that's very different.
And I think this relates directly also in another way to the hearings,
yes.
which is the way these hearings this week and previously are being organized. Is you hear some testimony and then the testimony is confirmed over and over again.
Yes.
And what happened with Watergate, if those of you that are too young to remember, the tapes came out after John Dean had said, here's what I told the president. Here's right. what Nixon told me. Here's what we tried to do. We talked about it this way, et cetera. Then you get the tapes and you find out, oh my God, not only was John Dean telling the truth, but he had a photographic memory of what took yep. place.
Well,
it's
good storytelling. I mean, really,
yeah,
it's storytelling 101. If not meandering, great epic right. storytelling,
right.
but it's really basic. First, you tell the audience, you foreshadow what you're going to do,
mm-hmm.
you foreshadow it some more, and then you do it, and then you remind them what you did. And
good lawyers do that before a jury.
Yeah.
As well, right.
And I think it was Churchill who said something about if you have an important point to make, don't try to be subtle. Use a
right.
pile driver. Hit it once and then come back and hit it again. Just keep pounding away at it. And that's really what they're doing.
And that's what Fox News did with Benghazi
sure,
and
with
Solyndra
everything.
And all of the propaganda that they use. So,
well, and that technique is morally neutral. It doesn't matter if you're
yes,
lying, telling
is.
The truth.
It
it's how you drive a point home to an audience.
Right, right.
And speaking of driving points home to the audience, I'd like to thank Brad and Desi at the Brad Blog for inviting me and the inimitable Digby, of course. I'd like to thank him for the hospitality on Brad's post-hearing radio show.
Yeah, that was on Tuesday.
It was on Tuesday. We had a great time. I felt like an enormous pressure to get this right. So so I took notes and I didn't really need to because it was pretty clear what they were doing. It was a really good, really powerful, well-told tale.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd also like to thank you and I to Tex Betsy, who made
yes.
time out of her schedule to lunch with us when she passed through Illinois and sort of emphasized the point, although it might not seem like it sometimes, we really are sort of out here kind of by ourselves in the middle America
mm-hmm.
in a cornfield, a mile away from a cornfield. And it's always great to talk to actual liberal humans from elsewhere to remind us that we're not alone. And we need that too, just FYI.
Yeah, we do. I have a couple people I want to thank. I want to thank the author Robert Chaz Shoot, who has sent me a couple of his books, his latest novel, Endemic, which I have started to read. And you can tell from the way Robert Chaz Shoot talks about how proud he is of this book and how much in love he is with the heroine of this story, how carefully and delightfully developed this book is. It is a story about, it's called Endemic, and it's post-apocalyptic. But like all Robert Chazchuk books, there's a definite element of hope in it. And that's the kind of fiction I really like to read, is, you know, something that is dystopian, but also has hope. And Hope-topian. He just sent me.
Yeah,
he just sent me his latest collection of short stories as well, called Our Alien Hours, which is a, you know, alien invasion on Earth story. So a series of stories. So looking forward to that as well. And finally, I would like to thank Joey Truman for sending us his 14-part serial novel called Donkeys. And he, if you buy this, you can go to whiskeytit.com. If you get this, he mails you booklets of the book, mm-hmm. just like, you know, Charles Dickens had serial chapters of his books.
In the Strand.
Right. And mm-hmm. so you, over the course of months, you will get 14 parts to this. I don't think it's for everybody. It is very hyper-realistic, train of thought, bizarro, working class, granular train of thought writing. If you like Burroughs' Naked Lunch, I think you'd like this. It's gritty. I just am proud that we have listeners that are writing and producing. It's so fantastic to see that. That book, Donkeys, is at whiskeytit.com. You can look at Robert Chazchuk's books at allthatchazz.com.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for sending us your writing. We do appreciate it.
And a bit of housekeeping, just one piece before mm-hmm. we launch show proper. What you will not be hearing today is any takes of ours about the Thursday, the 23rd hearings, because we are recording this as those hearings are going on. Because,
because this is when we record, Thursday afternoons.
We have time commitments for this.
We do.
We have time commitments after this. This is pretty much the only time this week at this time we have to record this. So
this time is set in stone and blocked out on our calendar as no, we can't do. We say no to everybody else.
Right.
Drift Glass volunteers a lot in the community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm busy with church stuff a lot. And this is the hour that we say, nope, can't do things Thursday. I have 22 doctor appointments this year, by the way.
Yeah, so far so good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I met my deductible this week. I'm delighted to say. It's all in the effort to get healthy. I'm not, right. you know, I'm not terminal or anything like that. I'm doing fine. Knock wood, doing all right. But boy, if you start seeing specialists, then there's no end to it. And but Thursday afternoons, nope, can't see Dr. X, Dr. Y, or Dr. Nope. Z on Thursday nope. afternoon. Sorry. Nope. So, so here it is, Thursday afternoon. The second hearing of the week is going on, and we understand they're now going to take a pause until after 4th of July mm-hmm. To give their, I'm sure, incredibly hardworking videographer staffers time to edit and work on what they're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see the Snyder cut of all this. I want to see the 77 hour, you know, epic sweeping Russian.
There will be people like you who would want to sit there and watch that. I know.
Yeah. But I understand that for the purposes of normal people who watch television
I appreciate that, you know, you and I aren't normies. We would watch 3 or 4 hours sure. of that.
Yeah.
But if you want to hit the TikTok generation with, wow, these guys are guilty, and, you know, Giuliani, I was just screaming on Tuesday, Giuliani belongs in fucking prison.
Yeah. So, yeah,
you know, you need that shortened version of that to get that emotional gut punch of truth into your system. Yeah. Yeah.
And you and I would sit still for a 2-hour documentary on Sam Irvin's eyebrows. So, you know, yeah,
we kind of you know, would.
But that's just us. Yeah, John Sirica, the After Dark. I'm down with all that.
We're politics nerds. That's why we've done hundreds of episodes of the show. So,
what is this episode? 600 and.
It's 656.
Yeah, 656. Damn, that's a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
But that's a good lead in to all the stuff we're not going to talk about. So you've just scrolled past all this, wisely so. but we are going to talk about the January 6th committee. Mm-hmm. And I will leave the floor open. And
To me, it was a little different from the previous ones. I was very upset by the previous hearings. because they showed bad people doing bad things.
Yeah.
And this particular hearing on Tuesday showed people, whether they were good people or bad people. I mean, I have my questions about the Arizona Republican who's still going to vote for Trump, even though Trump asked him to break the law.
Yeah.
But that's Rusty Bowers. But Shay Moss and Lady Ruby Freeman are good people doing good things.
Yes. Undisputed.
Undisputedly servants to democracy.
Absolutely.
And I'm so proud of them and proud to be a part of their country. And I want them to be my representatives, you know.
Absolutely.
They're just fantastic people. And so to hear how these incredibly powerful and privileged white guys in Washington, D.C. used them, abused them, destroyed their lives, I just kept getting angrier and angrier. And like I said, when I had to go to the pulmonologist. I couldn't be on Brad's blog with Digby because I was at the pulmonologist. But on my, you know, I was listening on my way there and listening on my way back. And I walked in the house and I went, Rudy Giuliani belongs in fucking prison, you know, because he does.
He certainly does.
I'm so mad that they were able to treat citizens who work for democracy that way.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that in 2022, we live in a country where the so-called president of the United States can drum up a lynch mob.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what he was doing.
It certainly was. It absolutely was. And it's plain, plain as day that nobody in the Trump universe gave a shit whether or not any of it was true or not, because they all knew it was a lie.
Yeah.
They applied the same pressure to these two wonderful women that they applied to Ukraine. I just want you to start an investigation. Mm-hmm. I want words coming out of your mouth suggesting there might be something there so I can take it back to my country and put it on Fox News and beat the shit out of people with it. I need ammunition for the Fox News machine gun. And you're going to goddamn well give it to me or you won't get weapons from me. And that's exactly what his thugs were doing to these women and others, which was just confess. Just confess. Mm-hmm. Just say something was wrong. Say anything. It doesn't matter. Anything you say that casts doubts on the election, go ahead and say it. And then we're going to make you a star on Fox News. And those words, because it's how Fox News operates. It's how the people, as we talked about last week, the crazy bitches who were running the CRT attack squads in Georgia, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
They're the counsel to the people standing up in front of city council was be emotional and bring a professional videographer with you because that'll make it easier if Tucker Carlson wants to use it.
Yeah,
this is all creating
and
content,
dangling that kind of fame and fake heroism to people who have nothing in their lives, and this will make them a hero on Tucker Carlson.
Right.
It's the lottery. I've said this many times. That's the MAGA lottery.
And the other end of that is threatening people, cajoling them, bribing them, destroying their lives, sending a lynch mob after them, invading their home just to squeeze them hard enough to say something that the Veritas Project can turn into a national scandal.
Exactly.
And then we can run on that for the next 6 months because the people on the right need to be fed lies every day or they die.
Yeah.
So,
and they all learned this from Roger Stone, who started, you know, this again echoes back to Nixon because that's where he got his start. But what does it take? And this is just dovetailing into the next subject, Drift Glass. What does it take for an American to turn into the kind of person who would leave a threatening voicemail on Eric Swalwell's voicemail threatening his three children who are under six? You know, what does it take? What's going on? I tweeted this, like, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
Well,
that you think that the thing to do is to issue death threats and to invade someone's house and pretend that you have the right to make a citizen's arrest of somebody.
And think you're being righteous in that, in doing so. You're
and,
in the right.
And these people that did the fake electors taping themselves signing it like they were founding fathers.
Right. Because the history's
kind of deluded mess of a brain do you have to have?
Well,
to get to that point. So I leave it to you to answer that question, Drew Glass.
No, I think the entry point to that question, a great place to start is the second set of testimonials given by Arizona House Speaker Rusty Bowers.
Yeah.
His testimony was moving and heartbreaking. And, you know, he was terrified. You know, he had a sick family member, sick daughter who pushed into his house, threatened, et cetera. Except his testimony failed to persuade himself. I mean, that the testimony was like, Jesus Christ, these people need to be locked up. But he doesn't think that. He sat up there and told what a criminal lunatic, what a violent criminal monster Trump and all of his thugs are. And then he said, if Trump's the nominee and if he was up against Biden, I'd vote for him again. And because what he did before COVID was so good for the country, in my view, it was great. And that gives you an insight. Now he's not going to leave a threatening voicemail on anybody's machine.
Right.
He's not going to march with the mob, but he is part of the mob. And this is what decades and decades of Republican Gingrich politics and Limbaugh-style propaganda has done to the GOP. And because the prime directive of Republicans, for as long as I can remember, is hating us. Hating us. Period. That's it. Everything else they do is just like an ornament hung on that tree. But it doesn't matter because individual issues, they come and go. The invasion of Iraq was the greatest thing ever, and then it wasn't, and liberals were the villains both times. Clinton smoking pot was the end of the world. Budget deficits were something that those fucking liberals didn't want to deal with until Clinton dealt with them, and then budget deficits didn't matter, but then they did. And, of course, Obama's birth certificate and Benghazi and on and on and on and on and on. It doesn't matter. The issues change every day. In fact, I've said before, an average dumb fuck Republican in your town can contradict themselves by the time they get to the end of the sentence. Because it's all just shit that they are handed that helps them do the thing they want to do, which is hate us. And this is Newt Gingrich, his whole thing. And all of his imitators were demonize the left, hate the left, bash the left. They want to murder children. They want to steal your guns. They're a bunch of commie gay monsters who want to take away your freedom.
It's a noun, a verb, blame Democrats.
Right. And it was Rush Limbaugh's. Yeah, Rush Limbaugh's whole thing was hate the left, liberals are out to kill you, liberals are monsters, never cooperate with them, never give them an inch. This is going back to the late 80s and 90s. This isn't like Trump invented this shit. This is the antecedent conditions the Republican Party was perfectly happy to plant and groom and harvest for decades until Trump came along and stole their plow from them and took it for himself. And then they all got shocked that this was ever a thing. The slogan of WIND radio in Chicago was liberals hate us. That was the conservative state. That was their slogan. That was what they're proud of. The liberals hate us. And I want to mention a person that some of you might know named Kevin Phillips. Kevin Phillips was one of the architects of Nixon's Southern strategy. And in 1969, a very long time ago, he published a book called The Emerging Republican Majority. And in that book, he described the conservatism of what was in the new right as organizing discontent. That was what they did. If you hated taxes, you're welcome to join us. If you hated black people or gays or the ERA, welcome to the GOP. And of course, the sinister forces behind everything that these groups hated were those godless liberals, those godless New Deal, Great Society lefties. And 40 years later, in 2006, Phillips looked back at what he'd done and wrote a book called American Theocracy. And in American Theocracy, he admits that that he thought they were just mutations, but it turns out this could have been predicted. It could have been stopped, but he didn't foresee it. And he never predicted how it would develop and dominate his party. So if hating the left is the prime directive of the right, prime directive of conservatives, then the corollary of that is that the most shameful and unforgivable thing any conservative do is conceding anything to the left, agreeing with the left on anything. And worst of all,
bipartisan anything.
Oh, no, right. Never, never, never. Yeah. We'll filibuster our own bills to stop Obama.
Yeah.
Anything to stop the left. And worst of all, the worst sin of all is looking stupid in front of the left.
Ah.
You cannot look stupid. You can be wrong on the right, but the answer always has to be, I just wasn't conservative enough. But you can't look stupid in front of the left. And that's what's happening.
Well, these hearings must just be destroying their souls then.
Well, it's making it, they're furious. They're furious. And this is why the entire conservative movement has waddled into the Fox News panic room and welded the door shut behind them. Because they don't want to hear any of this shit. And they will not. If you watch Fox News every night, it's, you know, trans swimmers and Hunter Biden's laptop. And you listen to any of these assholes being interviewed anywhere. It's anything but this. Anything but this. And because looking stupid in front of the left is the worst thing you can do. Worse than cooperating with them. This is why they hate anybody who left the party. This is why Rusty Bowers is getting threatening phone calls himself. The head of his own party is, you stab Trump in the back by just giving testimony. He said, no, I'd vote for him again. Don't hurt me. I knocked doors for him. I'm a Trump guy. But you got to be all the way, man. You got to be all the way or nothing. And they hate the left, but they hate apostates worse.
Oh, yeah. Because and if we have to talk about that sort of thing for 2024, I'm scared for Mike Pence's personal safety.
I am, too.
If he runs.
I am, too. And the thing is, everybody but the bottom feeding lunatics who are genuinely just shaken out of the loony bag onto the party stage, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, everyone in the party knows that they have created a monster that could kill them if they step out of line. And they want to keep their jobs and they want to stay in power. And they don't really care about getting people getting hurt or people dying. If they did, they wouldn't.
As long as it's not them.
As long as it's not them. And so you will find them. The furthest they're willing to go is straddle that fence, man. Straddle that fence. You know, Trump might have been extreme, but Biden is senile, you know.
Biden's worse. He's the biggest liar.
He's the biggest
liar ever. Mike Pence said he was the biggest liar that Pence had ever seen in the White House.
Right. Biggest liar. No president has ever lied more than Joe
than
Biden.
And
he said it on Fox News.
On Fox News.
Where he knows that he'll get a receptive hearing. Now, Mike Pence is never going to be elected to anything ever again. But I think you're right. Anybody who says anything about anybody, just look at the news. Look at what happened to these lovely women. Your life will, you're going to go through some stuff if you cross them. And that is the tactics of brown shirts in Nazi
fascism.
Germany.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep, it is, we know where you live. We know where your kids are. This is why people write notes. This is why people threaten their family. They know what hurts. They know what scares you. This fear and intimidation is all they've got. They don't have a policy for anything. They just want to intimidate the fuck out of you to get out of their ways on the way to power. So it doesn't surprise me that some asshole wrote Adam Kinzinger a note threatening his family, and they know his address. They know his habits. Doesn't surprise me at all. Doesn't surprise me at all that everyone on the 9/6 the 1/6 committee has Secret Service protection.
Has to have security detail now.
Yeah. Doesn't surprise me at all. Because you have done the worst thing. You have cooperated with the hateful, atheist, godless scumbag left, and you've made us look stupid. And that can't be tolerated.
An unforgivable crime. You must be destroyed for that. Yeah.
And what makes me smile with a kind of, you know, bemusement is that that you and I have been writing about this for literally decades now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can go back to Little Red State Fundy, me writing in 2005. The worst thing you can do is be wrong in front of the liberals. Conservatism cannot fail. It can only be failed, et cetera, et cetera. Liberals have been writing about this for decades. Tom Nichols just discovered this last week.
Yep.
And he's like, well, they're angry because they look stupid. They're looking foolish. And they can't tolerate that. Their entire personality is wrapped around this. And he is now has an Atlantic article. And he's on MSNBC. He's like, wow, Tom, tell us more about what these conservatives think and why they're behaving this way. Well, let me tell you, I just discovered radium all by myself in my basement using chopsticks and scotch tape. And I'm a fucking genius because I figured this out. Now, this was all going on right in front of him for decades. In his party. And his reaction to anyone who told him it was happening was, shut up, you crackpot alarmist libtard.
Yeah.
But now he's ripping off the liberal critique.
Discovered it.
I'm a fucking genius. Who but me, you know, 6-time Jeopardy champion, Tom Nichols, could have figured out that this is what the party base is like. Well, any asshole who'd bothered to check what the party base was like until last week would know this shit. And that's why it doesn't make me angry that I personally or you personally or people we know are not in the conversation. It infuriates me that people who represent that absolutely – clear, valid truth are not anywhere in the conversation. But right. there's no one right. ever. When Stephanie Ruhle puts Tom Nichols on the air and then has some asshole on there who's funded by Rupert Murdoch's daughter-in-law.
Right.
To talk about, you know, both sides are very extreme and we're working towards the middle. The center is blah, 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 blah. All the fucking buzzwords you've heard for 20 years about how the center is sacred.
From Purple Project, from No Labels, from all these groups that are always, always, always Republican groups.
Right.
Set out to gaslight you to say it's both sides.
And you look at their funding and it's like Rupert Murdoch's daughter-in-law gave him $9 million and then $3 million and all these hedge fund guys and all these tech guys just pump money into this shit. And there's nobody there because I just believe in my heart of hearts. I have no proof of this. This guy just did what you do to get on these shows. He just bought his way on.
Yeah.
That organization has a marketing department and a publicist, et cetera. And they just pumped money in and said, look, if you want to book so-and-so, you're going to have to book this asshole.
Yeah. And he's, the bookers talk to the agents and the agents make deals. And that's how it works.
And here's what we're going to say. We're not going to say the Republican Party is a fascist, you know, threat to democracy. We're going to say the extremes on both sides are very polarized. Is there any solution to that? My next guest thinks he can bring the country together again. And I like, and you and I had a bet.
We had a bet.
We had a bet. Which centrist asshole is it going to be?
Yeah.
And we were both wrong because it was a new centrist asshole.
It's a new centrist. And we were like, oh, we've never seen this centrist asshole.
Here's the thing. It's the same centrist asshole over and over again.
Yeah,
it is. Different face, different voice. It's some white guy.
Who was a Republican congressional intern 10 mm-hmm. years ago.
Yeah, or something. Or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who. It's a guy who's 27 years old and fresh-faced, and it might be Andrew Yang, and it might be Adam Kinzinger, and it might be Doug Riddleman, and but you know the names. And and before they say a fucking word, you know exactly the buzzwords they're going to use. The same terribly, awfully trite, banal, gum-chewed, all the flavor out 20 years ago bullshit words about
up for Republicans. Right. And their fascism. Yeah.
And so I'm just like shaking my head going, you know what? This is just a puppet show.
Yeah. Speaking of puppet shows, Jeff Glass.
Yeah.
Jesse Waters.
Yeah.
Jesse Waters this week.
Tell people
saying,
who he is.
You know, this it's overblown, Jeff Glass. The rage that people are feeling about abortion and the change in abortion laws.
Who is Jesse Waters?
Yeah. Jesse Waters is on Fox twice. He's on the 5, and he's got his own primetime show. He's Jesse Waters primetime.
Every day.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
And on the 5, he said, this abortion thing, it's overblown, Driftglass. Because you can just have unsafe sex and drive across state lines and have an abortion.
Right. Don't worry about it. Don't worry
you
about
can?
It.
You can? Why don't you do that, Jesse? But Ron Johnson had exactly the same argument in May.
Right.
This is going to be messy to begin with when the courts decide to overturn Roe. But people will just drive into Illinois and have an abortion. It won't really affect anybody. Forgetting and just erasing poor women, first of all. Erasing anyone who can't get paid time off to have any medical procedure done. And erasing their so-called sanctity of life argument.
Right.
It's not about that at all. It's about power. And it's about making sure their base, who really does believe, there are many people in the Republican base that are dead serious about a national ban on abortion. And groups that raise money for sanctity of life, who put pictures of little fetuses, whether it's an elephant fetus or a human fetus, no one knows, but they slap those on an envelope. And raise millions of dollars saying it's life and banking on the sentimentality over babies to raise money. Those groups have tasted victory with this court.
Yes,
they are not about to stop with states' rights.
No. And
they are fundraising on the promise of a nationwide ban.
Well, yeah. And the purpose of this, I've never seen Jesse Waters not being a smirking asshole.
Oh, yeah. He's an asshole.
Permanent Fox News smirk on his face. Like, I'm the most punchable, smug prick you could imagine, except for Tucker Carlson. And I'm untouchable. They're paying me a shit ton of money to lie to these morons. And I'm loving every fucking minute of it. But his purpose is basically the same purpose that people like David Brooks served for decades, which is, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You know, yeah, the Germans marched into Austria, but they're never going to go into Poland. Don't worry about that. They're rearming, but they're never going to attack anybody. Don't worry about it. Just lower your guard. Quit being so upset that we're gradually turning the country into a fascist theocracy, because it won't affect you. And really, the only thing that matters in this country is you in your state and your ability to get in a car and drive to a state that we haven't taken over. So don't worry about it. It'll be fine. You'll be fine. And that is the kind of making a treaty and then breaking a treaty that fascists are famous for.
Yes.
There is absolutely nothing about that that Mitch McConnell didn't do to deprive Barack Obama of a Supreme Court seat, steal it, and then use it to ram through a bunch of nominees of Donald Trump.
Three justices. Yeah.
Everything is just a tactic. They lie constantly. They make up fucking rules. They're irresponsive to hypocrisy. Because remember, Blue Gal, remember, the prime directive is hating liberals, destroying the left. So if the liberals are the big bad, are the Emmanuel Goldstein of their 1984, of the eternal, horrible, well-funded, scheming, plotting enemy behind everything. We're behind desegregation. We're behind taking your guns away. Liberals and big government are the enemy forever. So that being the case, any tactic is permissible. Lying is permissible. Cheating is permissible. Killing is permissible. Threatening is permissible. Blackmail is permissible, because it's all in the service of defeating the great big enemy. And once you've convinced 70 million morons that the great big enemy is out there, and you should never leave Fox News, because you go out there and they're going to start lying to you and maybe trip you up. Look what happened to Liz Cheney. She used to be a good member of the party, and then liberals got into her brain and put worms in there. And now she's a crazy bitch who can't be trusted. And so you have these people who are, as I said before, you know, democracy, the epitaph on American's tomb is going to be, democracy died because 70 million assholes didn't have the strength of character to change the fucking channel. That's it. It's that easy. And understanding that is not hard. It is terrifying. And it's extremely discomforting to the people that cable news is trying to sell dick pills to. They don't want to talk about the fact that your neighbor is a fascist, because that's scary. So they want to talk about how the sensible center is out there. And don't worry about it. This is pishantosh. Don't worry about this stuff. You'll be okay. You personally will be okay. And that's what all anyone wants to hear is you personally will be fine until you're not.
It's also a political tactic to try to tamp down the rage that women are feeling, and that's not going to work.
No. Nope, nope.
And it shows their fear.
And they should be afraid.
They should be very afraid. And another example of their fear is this very, very watered down, piddly gun bill.
Yeah.
But they're so terrified of Moms Demand Action being able to stand up in November and say they did nothing after Uvalde, that they did the absolute barest minimum, putting one sprinkle on top of the cake and saying, see, we did something.
We did something. See?
And again, we did nothing, because we put that one little piece of sugar on the entire cake. And that's now we did it. We did something.
Well, and the internal ideological conflict on the right is we're not getting to full fascism fast enough.
Right.
You're going too slow. We should just take over and ram shit down people's throats and drive the liberals into the ocean and put Republican Jesus in every classroom and be done with it.
And if you don't believe that, believe this. Arizona Republicans are expanding their Supreme Court, their state Supreme Court, by 6 justices. This talk about expanding the Supreme Court in the United States is if that's that's a conversation ender. We can't do that. We can never do that. Republicans are doing it in their states, in the states that they have control over.
There's the thing. In the states where Republicans control things, they make up a bunch of rules that favor Republicans.
They get to do it. Yep.
Now, give me a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate and a robust left-wing in the House. I'd be happy to do it, but that will never happen at the federal level.
Well, I don't believe that'll never happen. You and I might be dead, but our daughter's generation is not going to put up with this crap. Hopefully they'll have enough rights and not be completely beaten down. I don't want to start crying now, so I'm going to stop talking about the future.
Let's put it this way. There's a whole pile of shoulds over here.
Yeah.
And there's a much, much, much smaller list of will and can and feasible over here. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with any of the shoulds. I'm in favor
I don't
of the
either.
Shoulds.
Right, right.
I'm known as a big should head. Everybody knows I'm a should head. But I'm also...
He shoulds all over everybody all the time.
I do. And I'm proud of it. But I am not starry-eyed enough anymore to believe that the shoulds can be willed or wished into existence without actually having the machinery to do it. And I know what the machinery looks like, and it doesn't exist. I promised listener Ian, who brought up a fun point, that I would mention the term I coined back in 2010, which is in the before time, which I know is, you know, against the rules, strategic forgettery. And this week, I'm not going to do a whole thing on it. I will do a lick and a promise. I will talk about it in greater length elsewhen. But it is basically doublethink. Go to your Orwell dictionary and look up doublethink, and that's what it is. But it was came to the fore during the period when the GOP was testing just how far it could go in pretending the past never happened. Just pretending, Bush, never heard of him. And I wrote all the way back in 2010 that it was, quote, a specific mutagenic strain of wingnut doublethink. The training of an entire generation of conservatives to mindlessly attack the left while holding themselves willfully and belligerently ignorant of what their movement is really doing and who is really running things. It is, in the end, Ronald Reagan's most potent and vile political legacy. It's why one of our podcast mottos is no fair remembering stuff. Mm. It is absolutely, and it's, you can see it every day. It's like the Matrix. It's where you go to church. It's where you pay your taxes. Every time you talk to a conservative, and you and I have talked to our fair share. Like yeah. I said, we live in the middle of this. We're not, you know, one thing that cracks me up, Blue Gal.
Yeah.
These coastal conservative elites really don't seem to understand how America really works. I'm always surprised by that. These coastal conservative elites who are New Yorkers or live in D.C. or teach in D.C. or California don't seem to understand how things are out where we are in the real America. Mm-hmm. And if you were out in the real America, you could see this shit happening all the time. There's a lie behind another lie behind another lie behind another lie. And then comes the what about. But, you know, they'll look you dead in the eye and swear they never said the thing they said yesterday.
Yeah.
And I think part of their tiny, mushy brains, they don't remember they did it until they're reminded when it's efficacious in the future to remember it. Then they remember it. Remember, every one of these people can quote you chapter and verse about Robert Byrd's entire career.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because he was a Klansman. Yeah, when he was 17, he was. That's true. But they can't remember what George Bush said or did or what they voted for or who they believed or what they said last week. But by God, they have a complete epic history of civil rights right up until 1964. So it's not that they lack.
Yeah.
They don't lack the capacity for it. They're just lying. They're just captive. They're fascists. And they've been trained. Remember, anything you do, any lie you tell, any bullshit you make up about your past is perfectly okay as long as it's being used to destroy the left.
All right. So we got to talk for a second about Eric Greitens' ad.
Yeah.
Which promises fascism to the loyal Missouri Republicans who support this absolute violent nut job for U.S. Senate. The ad portrays a SWAT team busting down a door and an armed Eric Greitens following them in with, you know, to shoot rhinos, to shoot Republicans in name only.
Yeah.
And giving you license to hunt rhinos. And as Digby pointed out on Twitter, this rhino hunting license thing has been a trope in Republican politics for a long time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah.
What the background, I just want to give people a little background as to how things went at Crooks and Liars about this, because I think this is a good lesson for media and how we handle stories like this. This was released on Monday morning. Dropped like a bomb. This ad was dropped like a bomb into the news cycle and immediately went trending because it's such a violent, horrific fascist statement designed to shock.
Right.
And it is also something that my instincts, having worked for Crooks and Liars since 2007, said, okay, this is going to get taken down. It was designed as a bomb to blow up the news cycle, and then they're going to take it down. And either YouTube will take it down, or the campaign will take it down, or something will happen where it won't be available anymore. So my instincts, as a Crooks and Liars person who's staffs in the mornings, mm-hmm. Was to grab it. And I have right. the capability to grab videos off the internet, and I can put them on our server. And Crooks and Liars, in case you don't go to crooksandliars.com, you should, because we have our own video servers. And so things don't get taken down from there. And it's wonderful to look things up there. It's a great archive of videos like, what did Keith Olbermann say? What did any Republican say? If you really want to go back and see, mm-hmm. You know, what Sean Hannity was saying 10 years ago, we have it. And we have it on our servers, and it's not going to get taken down because it didn't get enough views, or YouTube didn't like it, or YouTube cleaned out their archives, or whatever. It's going to be there. And it is searchable, and that's another thing that's really terrific about it. But I put it on our server right away because I said, this is a bomb. It's going to get taken down. It's there for attention. And then I wrote an article about it, and my editor came in and said, I'm really worried about posting that ad, that Greitens ad, because we don't want to appear to be endorsing what it said. And so... And then she said, and by the way, it's probably going to get taken down, so we might want it on our servers for that reason. So her instincts exactly. were the same as mine. Mm-hmm. But when we put it on the site as a part of an article, we used the YouTube.
Right.
And we used the YouTube and then put a note on the one that was on our server to say we don't agree with either the content of this video or its tactics. But we are putting it here because we are concerned that it will be deleted in the future.
It's evidentiary value.
It has evidentiary value. Correct.
Yep.
So that's just a little behind the scenes peek at what we go through at Crooks and Liars.
Every day.
Alert to being played by a fascist message. We're alert to that.
Yeah. There's always that, you know, that smoke bomb thrown into a room, that stink bomb thrown mm-hmm. into a room. The purpose of it is simply to drive the news cycle.
Right.
To distract from something, to see how far we can push, to see how far we can go.
Very much so. And mm-hmm. this ad was absolutely, let's see how far we can push. And B, I think, let's give red meat to the people who might then donate to our campaign and vote for us.
Oh, yeah.
Let's give them the reddest meat we can. Talk to me about, once again, comparing these hearings to Watergate.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you had some comments about that.
Yeah, I'll compare it to a fictional, even older hearing and Watergate. In Watergate, there was a congressman from Maryland whose son is now the governor, I think, Lawrence Hogan. Lawrence Hogan was a loyal Republican congressman who, during the Watergate hearings, teared up mm-hmm. and said, you know, I can't stand it. When people came into, because he listened to the tapes, and when people came into my president's office and talked about bribery and extortion, et cetera, law breaking, cover ups, you know, he expected Nixon to throw them out of his office. How dare you bring that crap into the Oval Office? Don't you know where you are? But Nixon didn't do that. Nixon asked them to help. Nixon went along with it. And it broke his heart. It broke his mm-hmm. heart because he had really believed Richard Nixon was the one, that he believed in everything that Nixon did. And he was a loyal Republican. And he was dumbfounded that he heard the person he trusted and revered was this giant corrupt asshole. And in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, very end of the movie, there's Senator Tom Paine, the senior senator from his state, who goes out in the hall and tries to kill himself. And then there's this confession that everything this young man is saying is true. I'm not fit to be a senator. I'm not fit to be in this body. And the movie ends happily because he has finally been broken. The truth has finally broken this guy. There will be no Lawrence Hogan moment in these hearings. There will be no Tom Paine moment in these hearings. There at no point will any Republican look at their collective actions over the last 2 years or 4 years or 8 years or 10 years or 15 years or whatever and go, holy shit, I've been played. I've been a chump. I've been wrong. That is never going to happen again. Savor
those
moments.
All you have to do is look at Lindsey Graham and you know that's the truth.
Look at good old Rusty mm-hmm. from Arizona. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he's a criminal. Yeah, he did these terrible things. Yeah, he tried to pressure me. Yeah, he tried to overthrow the election. Oh, vote for him again. Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely do that. Bill Barr. Oh, yeah, it's full of bullshit. He's detached from reality. He's out of his fucking mind. Blah, blah, blah. I quit because I didn't want to be part of this conspiracy. Oh, no, I'd vote for him again. That's the conditioning is down to the cellular level. They're never going to change. There's no conscience to appeal to there anymore. There just isn't. So, you know, we should stop trying. But that's not what I was looking for during these hearings. I was looking for something for the history books.
Yeah.
I think I use this analogy on the Brad Blog podcast. Josephus did not stop the Romans from sacking Jerusalem. Josephus provided a record of what happened, an honest accounting, and saved pieces of the Jewish culture. And that's what he did. And that had inherent value.
And it was enough.
And a certain level of democracy hygiene, civic hygiene. Mm-hmm. This, as I said also on a previous occasion, even if it's playing Nearer My God to Thee as the Titanic goes down, it's what you do when the Titanic goes down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to do these things, even if you're going to lose, even if it won't make any difference, even if no Lawrence Hogan will spring up and go, my God, I'm sick of this fucking Republican Party. I will refuse to be part of this. That's not going to happen. It's not going to change any minds. But that's okay, because that's not what these hearings are for me. Now, maybe for you, you expect them to change minds and maybe you're going to be disappointed. Hope not. But for me, that's what I was expecting. I was hoping for. And so far I've gotten what I hoped for. Now, you want to talk about...
I wanted to give a little bit of applause to my colleague, Susie Madrak, because this morning she did a terrific post about Ron DeSantis. And she framed it as replacing an actor on a soap opera. That the part of Donald Trump will now be played by Ron DeSantis.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just glorious. You know, that's exactly what's going to happen in the minds of Republican voters and MAGA, you know, cult members. Is, oh, you know, Victor's being played by Blast Hard Cheese. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, and they'll just switch right over. And now we have to talk for a minute about SCOTUS and the horrible 6-3 decisions and 8-1 decisions and so forth that were made today. And we didn't even get an abortion ruling today because they have to be on a plane to Dubai when that decision is released. But Keith Boykin on Twitter really summed up these decisions today. He said, so as I understand the Supreme Court, the government can arrest and jail you without Miranda rights, check, execute you even if your lawyer screws up, check, force you to have a baby, check, use tax dollars to support religion, check, but it can't protect your right to vote or keep you safe from guns. And then Kathy Griffin, comedy goddess, who has herself been a victim of Trump's fascism, by the way.
Yes, she has.
And the lynch mob. She said today on Twitter, stop saying, but the institutions held regarding Trump's actions. The Supreme Court of the United States fell. It didn't hold.
Yep.
And I just want to remind everyone, please, please, please don't recommend that we stack the court. The court is stacked.
It's already stacked. That's right.
We need to unstack the court.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the phrase that we need to use in describing that action. It's time to take the court away from the dark money and the Leonard Leos and give it back to the Constitution and its constitutional role.
Couldn't agree more. You know, so raise your hand if you agree.
No, stop that. Nope. Driftglass has a crusade against raise your hand if on Twitter.
Yeah. Retweet. Retweet.
Who's like with and retweet me? If you agree. Yes.
Who's with me? The pie is delicious. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Cake or pie? What do you think? Yes. Mm-hmm. No.
And I all look these and
engagement,
see.
Thirsty engagement attempts on Twitter. Yes.
And I look and see, oh, you have 400,000 followers. Now I know
it
how.
It works.
Now
that's what they want. They get a blue check for that. Yeah.
Yay. Yeah.
All right. Driftglass, you have a little riddle for our listeners end our regular show before the news roundup.
I do. It's a little game that I played for my wife, and I genuinely...
And you also blue text Betsy's mind with it.
I did. I had such a fun time doing it. I listened to the Lincoln Lads podcast, as you know, and the host is Reed Galen, and this is an exchange between Reed Galen and his guest. And the riddle is, can you guess who this is?
So who the Reed guest Galen, is. All right.
Who the guest is. So Reed Galen asks, if you're sitting in the Oval Office, like, you know, the power of the office, the power is presidency. And his guest says, it's intoxicating, I'm sure. And his guest says, it's intoxicating, but It seems Trump has been able to do this to people for decades. So his venue changes, but his behavior and his effects don't. So he's talking about bullying and being an asshole and being a narcissist. The guest replies, that's true of extreme narcissists generally. It happens in relationships. It happens in families. It happens in toxic workplaces other than the White House or the Trump Organization, where the guy who's nominally in charge or one spouse or some cousin or somebody just beats on everyone, and it's just easier to just sort of humor him or avoid him than it is to confront him. It's just not worth it. That's what Trump did to everyone. So the riddle is, who said it? Who said that?
And it's not Clarence Thomas.
Nope. Is it Norma Desmond? No, it's not. Is it Martha Mitchell? No, it is not. Is it David Brooks? No, it is not. It is George Conway. It is George Conway, the husband of loyal Trump hatchet woman and all-around horrible, monstrous creature, Gorgon, Kellyanne Conway. They're still married. They're still happily married. And he's and the funny part was this quote just literally had me laughing. I just laughed my ass off when he started talking about in families and relationships, sometimes someone's so abusive and narcissistic, you just don't want to get into it. And watching Reed Galen, or listening to Reed Galen, steering the conversation very widely around any mention of who he's married to or what his marital situation is.
And
her new book. Yeah, it was hilarious. And I mean, I'm still laughing about it. It's a bitter laugh, but I'm still laughing about it.
Drift Class, let's do a news roundup.
All right, after you.
The Bidening continues. The January 6th committee revealed evidence that Trump had a, quote, direct and personal role, unquote, in pressuring state and local officials to overturn the 2020 election results, as well as involved in a scheme to put forward slates of fake pro-Trump electors in states won by Biden.
The January 6th committee also subpoenaed a documentary filmmaker for footage of Trump and his inner circle before and after the insurrection. The existence of this footage was previously unreported. Alex Holder confirmed that he had turned over the footage to the committee, which includes, quote, unparalleled access and exclusive interviews with Trump, his children, Jared Kushner, Mike Pence, both before and after the events of January 6th, as well as never-before-seen footage of the Capitol riot.
Because they're so vain. All
right.
of them.
Right.
Oh, that yes. they had to make a documentary about overturning democracy.
I'm going
to
win. History's going to love me. And I want it on record. I want it on camera, showing what a great man I am and how I saved this country from Sleepy Joe.
The January 6th Select Committee just unveiled footage of Republican National Committee Chairwoman Ronna Romney McDaniel saying that the Republican National Committee was, quote unquote, helping the Trump campaign to illegally assemble fake electors to steal the election from American voters. You know, like you do.
Like you do. This is Mitt Romney's niece, and that's a criminal conspiracy. Mm-hmm. Trump campaign staffer Robert Sinners, just a great last name, referred to himself as a useful idiot for participating in the fake electors scheme, especially after the campaign lawyers decided it was inappropriate. This made him angry that no one cared about his legal jeopardy.
No one cared about his legal jeopardy.
Perfectly willing to break the law, perfectly willing to go along with it. But now I was lied to by Donald Trump. Get in line, asshole. Get in line.
This is why every day I just wish men could get pregnant.
Yep.
Period. Well, what about my pregnancy?
What about me? What?
Well,
just
career.
Just drive to Illinois. Don't worry about it. Just drive to Illinois.
Just drive to Illinois. Well, yeah. But I have a book tour I'm on. I can't possibly go to trial in September.
I'm busy. I'm very busy with my book tour.
In Oklahoma, a man wandering around in body armor with an AR-15 triggered multiple 9/11 calls. The police came but determined what he was doing was legal under Oklahoma's constitutional carry law. They ultimately arrested him because he was in possession of brass knuckles, which are illegal in Oklahoma.
I don't even know what to say. Every new detail about the Uvalde shooting makes it worse. Mm-hmm. Eva Morales, a Uvalde teacher, called her husband and told him that she had been shot and was dying. Her husband, who was a police officer, tried to storm the classroom, take down the shooter, but was detained by other officers and had his gun taken away.
The Supreme Court is moving quickly to dismantle the separation of church and state, by the way. Earlier this week, the court ruled 6-3 that the state of Maine cannot exclude religious schools from a state tuition program that lets parents use vouchers to send their children to public or private schools. Ellie Mistal tweeted, "There is no meaningful check anymore on whether conservatives will allow religious concerns to supersede secular laws." I personally can't wait until somebody wants to use a voucher at a madrasa.
Yeah, Bain's going to have a madrasa capital of America. That's going to be great. Also from Ellie Mistal, the Supreme Court just gutted Miranda, ruling that a person who did not receive warnings has no right to sue the government for the constitutional violation. This was 6-3 by the people you would expect. Jesus Christ.
Yep, that's what Ellie Mistal said. Jesus Christ. Homeland and national security officials are worried about Russia using Trump's election lies to exploit U.S. divisions in November's midterms. You think?
Yeah. And in local news, I would like to mention for the umpteenth time that Blue Gal herself predicted the primaries were going to be lit. And they are lit.
Lit.
Holy crap, are they? One of the key issues in the dogfight between Trump-backed candidate Mary Miller and Trump stooge Rodney Davis is the January 6th committee. Now, Davis was one of 35 House Republicans who voted last year to set up a commission to investigate the attack. That went to the Senate and died there. And Davis voted against creating the January 6th Select Committee, which is what you're seeing on TV now, and has promised to spearhead, quote, a full investigation into Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the Select Committee's circus if Republicans retake the House and he becomes chairman of the House Administration Committee. But Mary Miller is having none of it. She's accused Davis of stabbing President Trump in the back by voting for the sham January 6th committee. Lit, baby. It is lit in here in Illinois.
And two other background pieces. One is that Mary Miller on January 6th quoted Hitler in her speech.
Yes, she
Hitler
did
one good thing. You know, he understood that you have to get children early. Secondly, Rodney Davis was one of the people that was selected to be on the January 6th committee.
Yes, he was.
Along with Jim Jordan. And when Pelosi said, no, we're not going to let Jim Jordan be on, that's when Republicans just pulled up stakes and said, okay, we're not going to participate. That's when the two Republicans who are on the committee remained on the committee because they wanted to be. But everybody else pulled up stakes and went home. Rodney was going to be one of them. He was going to be one of the Republicans on the committee.
But when Kevin McCarthy said jump, Rodney Davis said, how high?
Yeah,
and they all flounced off the committee.
He wants to be in leadership. He wants to be. And he may be the compromise candidate if Kevin McCarthy, you know, nobody can stand Kevin and they aren't going to let him be speaker. Watch out. It wouldn't surprise me if Rodney's on the short list.
Well, even
a Republican
Speaker
of the House.
Even Donald Trump is now attacking Kevin McCarthy for being stupid about this committee.
Well, he's an idiot.
He's an idiot. He's a moron. And he represents people who think this moron should be the Speaker of the House. And I'm sorry, every time I hear moderate Republican, can we get another Republican? How about this Republican? Why can't Adam Kinzinger keep his career? What about Liz Cheney? All I see is that's one more vote for that asshole being Speaker of the House.
Right.
And having endless Benghazi hearings and endless Hunter Biden hearings.
Committee meeting. Yep.
Every Republican is just one more vote to destroy the country. I don't care who they are. I don't care what their names are. I don't care what church they go to or how much they promise otherwise. All they are is one vote to get rid of this country, get rid of our democracy. And
we can't
so
have
screw
it.
Them. Fuck them all.
Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is a sweet, sweet dog named Barney.
Barney
is so cute. Barney is a 14-year-old Chihuahua Pekingese mix, and he got the best of both. Barney's human is asking for some real thoughts and prayers for Barney because Barney is 14 and Barney is dealing with some age-related ailments. And I can tell you, Barney, getting old sucked, okay? Of course, we will keep Barney in our thoughts and wish him recovery. Barney eats freshly poured dog food, our fake sponsor, Drift Glass.
Whether
you serve pet store perfection or dollar store dreck, your pets will sit on the kitchen floor and demand that the food they eat is only freshly poured. Freshly poured, freshly poured. Oh, my Lord, it's freshly poured. And you can visit Barney. He just has the sweetest face at our Facebook page or website. And you can send your internet kitty, dog, or other pet to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions! Letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Hashtag fire to joy. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. And make it iced, please, this week.
Yeah.
This is not charity. This is our job, and we love doing this podcast. We got a generous contribution from a listener this week, and I wrote to thank him, and he wrote back and said, you guys do good work, you work hard, and you deserve to be paid for it. So I really appreciated him saying that. Thank you. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. Our PayPal postal address information, merch, GoFundMe, all of it is there at proleftpod.com. Please share our show on social media. And if you love this podcast, send us $5. That's a great way to vote for a specific episode that you like. Thank you for doing that. Hey, Driftglass, how are the internet kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, after this week, the internet kitties are just sorry they can't sign up to be election workers. God bless Shay Moss and Lady Ruby.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Just think about loving.
Think about loving.
Just think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, loving, loving. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license, copyright 2022, DGBG Productions Incorporated.